It's time for the sermon. So I would like all the boys and girls to come and sit right in front of the flannel graph. And mums and dads, let's have a few of you come and sit down around here too, and that would be really helpful. You can sit on the floor or you can sit on the chairs. Oh, everybody wants the chairs. There's two rows of chairs too there, kids. But it's a very comfortable cement floor. And I have some help today. My helper is Janine Goddard. So let's welcome her and her husband to church today. Hey, great. Well, boys and girls, this is very, very exciting. Do you want to be on this side or on that side? Either side? Would you? You want to switch? Okay, good. Thanks, Janine. Today, I get to tell you a Bible story, and your parents get to listen. And you may already know about this Bible story because it's one of everybody's favorites. But it's the story about a man who had special needs. Now, does anybody know what special needs means? What does that mean? Yeah.
It means like they need something to help them.
Exactly. Yes, they are people just like us, but for whatever reason, they need a little more help. Sometimes it's because there's something wrong with their body. Sometimes there might be something wrong with their emotions. Sometimes they might have a hard time learning, but they're special to God and they're special to us. Well, this man had special needs. Now, here he is. The poor man, all he owns is this bed. And his special need is that he was paralyzed. Now, can anybody tell me what it means to be paralyzed? Yes. That's right. He can't walk. And the reason he can't walk is that from his waist down, he can't feel his legs. They're completely numb. So if I was paralyzed all of a sudden, I would just fall to the ground because I'd have no muscles in my legs. Well, this poor man was paralyzed. And in those days, if you were paralyzed, there were no wheelchairs. Today, there's many paralyzed people who have little powered wheelchairs and they can drive all over the place. Have you seen some of those people? Yeah, so have I. They're so lucky. But oh, back in Jesus' day, there were no wheelchairs. This man couldn't use crutches. He couldn't sit up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't work. He was very, very poor. People had to bring him food every day and a little bit of water. He was a very, very sad, sad man. But one day, this man heard that somebody very special was coming to town. Can you guess who that might be?
Jesus,
that's right. Jesus was coming to town, and this man heard that Jesus loved special needs people, and that he was a very powerful teacher, and that he even performed miracles. Well, all kinds of people came to this big house to hear Jesus teach. There were old people, and there were young people, and there were religious people, and there were non-religious people. And there were girls and boys, and there were mums and dads and uncles and aunts. It seemed like almost everybody came to the house to hear Jesus teach. Everybody wanted to see him and maybe touch him and maybe even get to know him. Ah, but there were some men who came to the house to see Jesus that day, and they didn't like Jesus at all. They were called Pharisees. Can anybody tell me what a Pharisee is? Yes. Give it your best shot. Okay, anybody else want to help him out? Yes, honey. Yes, they do collect money. That's very astute of you. Yes.
What they
They were like priests. Yeah, they were. Anything else you want to add to that?
Intruders.
Pardon me?
Intruders.
Intruders? Yeah, they sort of were intruders. Do you know that Pharisees, unfortunately, had the kind of job that I have? They were like pastors of that day. They spent years studying the Bible. They knew the Bible very well, and they taught people the Bible, but they had a few problems that we'll hear about in a minute. These men were here to make trouble for Jesus. Well, do you see this poor paralyzed man? He was stuck way over here when all of these people came running by him, and he thought to himself, I will never get to meet Jesus. But suddenly, four men who he didn't even know came, and each man grabbed a corner of his bed, and they picked up the bed, and they began to carry the paralyzed man to Jesus. One of the men said to him, it's your lucky day. We're bringing you to Jesus. But there was a problem. Do you know what the problem was? Yes. That's right. The house was so packed that they couldn't get in the door. People were overflowing out of the doors and out of the windows. I think we even have a window, and you can't see the people, but there were many people there that were beside the window. Well, what in the world would they do? Ah, one of the four friends carrying the bed with the sick man on it said, why don't we take the man up onto the roof? And we will dig a hole in the man's roof, and we will tie rope to the bed, and we'll lower the bed down to Jesus. Jesus will be so impressed that maybe he will heal the man. And so that's exactly what they did. Now, can you imagine being in church or in a guy's house when suddenly dust and rocks and tiles begin to fall, and all of a sudden there's daylight, and everybody's looking up. Nobody's paying attention to poor Jesus anymore. And then all of a sudden from the roof comes this guy, this man on a bed being lowered to Jesus like a chandelier being lowered for a good cleaning. And a good cleaning the man got that day. Oh, Jesus looked up at these men, and he was so impressed with their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. Now, isn't that a funny thing to say to a sick person? Don't you think Jesus should have said, your sickness is healed? But do you know that Jesus looked beyond the man's physical sickness, right into his heart, and he saw another problem in the man's heart? And that is that the man had done or thought some bad things. And Jesus knew that this man felt very guilty about those things. Now, let me ask you a question for a minute. Have you ever had a terrible tummy ache? How many of you have had a tummy ache? So have I. Now, how many of you have also felt really bad or guilty about a bad thing that you've done? I see that hand. Yes. Do you know that if you're anything like me, when I was your age, I felt worse about feeling guilty than I did about my tummy ache? Well, Jesus looked into the man's body, and he looked into the man's heart, and he was going to fix this man up inside and outside. Ah, but the Pharisees, they were so upset at Jesus, they began grumbling to themselves and figuring out what they could do to hurt Jesus. They were saying to themselves, who does this Jesus think he is? God or somebody? We know that only God has the power to forgive a man's sin. But Jesus, able to read their minds, said to them, hey, you guys over there, you be quiet. What's easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven or be healed? And with that, Jesus, to prove that he really was God, said to the paralyzed man, take up your bed and go home. You're healed. And suddenly, the paralyzed man had feeling in his legs, and up he came. It was a miracle. And he took his bed and he rolled it up and he put it under his arm and he started to head home. What a miracle. The people couldn't believe it. They said to themselves, "We've never seen anything like this before." And they all worshiped God. That's the end of the story. But there's a few more things that I want to say to you, and now your mom and dad can listen, okay? This is what we call, thank you, Janine, very well done. Do you know, when pastors speak, they like saying things in 3 points. So here's my first point. Point number one, in this story, sometimes we are the men who lowered the paralyzed man to Jesus. And that's really good news, because what that means is that we experience Jesus' love to such an extent that his love in us is poured out to other people like the paralyzed man. Sometimes that means that we're kind to people who nobody else is kind to. Sometimes it means that we feed hungry people, or we give somebody a phone call who's discouraged or lonely. Sometimes it means that we teach children Sunday school and stuff like that. But God will work in our hearts so that we will want to bring people like the paralyzed man to Jesus. That's really good news. That's the work that Jesus does in us. We call it the church. But sometimes, and this is my second point, we are like the paralyzed man. We want to get to Jesus, but we can't. We need somebody else to help us get to Jesus. And that means that sometimes we have to phone somebody and say, "I really need you to pray for me." Sometimes it means that we have to admit to our mom or our dad that we're not feeling very good in our heart and we'd like them to talk to us about it. But what this means is that we need to be honest with ourselves about the fact that we're paralyzed. We may not be paralyzed in our body, but sometimes our hearts are all paralyzed with fear and anxious thoughts and all kinds of things. The good news is that Jesus loves special needs people like us, and we are all special needs people. But there's one more third point, and it has to do with these guys. What are they called again? Pharisees. Sometimes we are like the Pharisees. And that's very, very scary. Sometimes we think we're so important that we're more important than God. And sometimes we get so religious that our religion keeps us from Jesus. Sometimes we're so busy making up rules for everybody to obey and making sure that everybody behaves that we miss the point completely, that we are just like the paralyzed man, and that we desperately need Jesus. Well, I've got good news if you're a Pharisee, and I've been a Pharisee for many years, so this is very good news for me. Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus not only loves these men, the friends, and he not only loves the paralytic, but Jesus loves the Pharisees. In fact, there are 3 Pharisees in the Bible who became Christians. Does anybody want to venture a guess as to who those men are? Yes. Who are they? Yes, but what are their names? Ah, that's right, but nice try. Yes, sweetheart. No, but that's a very good guess. He was a little bit like them, but different. Yes. It'll come to you. Let me help you out. How many of you have heard of Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee who ended up becoming a Christian. Now, how many of you have heard of Saul of Tarsus or the Apostle Paul? He's a Pharisee who became a Christian. And there's one other man. His name, are you ready? Was Joseph of Arimathea. He was a very, very rich man, and he owned a big tomb. Do you know what a tomb is? Anybody? What is it?
It's like this big temple.
No, not quite. It might have been as big as a temple, but not quite. Yeah, yes. It's a place for dead people. It was big and fancy because he was rich and had a lot of money. But I want to tell you something. 3 years after this event, do you know what they did? These men got together with others and they crafted a plan to kill Jesus. Do you know how they killed him? How did Jesus die? Yes. Yes, they nailed Jesus to a cross. And when Jesus was hanging from that cross, he forgave us all of our sins. Everything bad we had ever done or thought was placed on Jesus. And Jesus died for us to forgive us. And they took Jesus' body off the cross and they wrapped it up in sheets, in grave clothes. And do you know where they took his body? Into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But 3 days later, Joseph got his tomb back because the power of God did something with the body of Jesus. What did God do with Jesus? Yes. Yes, God made Jesus come to life again, and he walked out of Joseph's tomb, and he ultimately went to heaven, and he will come again. But do you know that in between, while we're waiting, Jesus is here with us through the Holy Spirit? He is here to heal us and to forgive us and to love us and to make us like these men who help other people find Jesus. That's good news, and that's the end of the story. You can go back to your seats, boys and girls.